Hi, this is Mick.
This is Peter.
And this is Pete Lincoln.
And we are
Frontmen.
And you are listening to The Blog of Rock.
Hallo, willkommen bei The Block of Rock, deinem Hardrock und Heavy Metal Podcast Musikmagazin. Ich bin Uwe Lerch und ich nehme dich Backstage mit zu den Rockstars. Natürlich quatschen wir über die Musik, die uns alle verbindet, über neue Platten, über Livepläne und was früher so war. Aber wir sprechen auch über die Menschen dahinter. Was hat sie inspiriert und motiviert und welche Rockstar-Tipps haben sie für dich da draußen? In den Shownotes, das ist die Beschreibung zu dieser Episode, über die du das hier gerade hörst, findest du einen zentralen Link für alle weiteren Informationen, der dich aber auch in meine offizielle Facebook-Gruppe führt. Ich würde mich freuen, wenn wir uns hier kennenlernen. Bist du nun am Start? Na dann komm doch mit! Vor genau einem Jahr habe ich euch an dieser Stelle das Trio Frontmen vorgestellt. Drei Frontmänner beliebter englischer Bands mit musikalischen Wurzeln in den 70ern und 80ern, die sich zu einer gemeinsamen Truppe zusammengefunden haben. Aufgrund ihres sehr harmonielastigen Gesangs und einer überwiegend akustischen Instrumentierung hatte ich sie als britische Antwort auf die Eagles bezeichnet und genau die stellen sie auch bei ihrem zweiten Studioalbum Enjoy the Ride unter Beweis. Mick Wilson, ehemals 10cc, Peter Howarth von den Hollies und Pete Lincoln, ex The Sweet und jetzt bei Smokey, präsentieren hier 12 nagelneue Eigenkompositionen mit Gute-Laune-Garantie, die noch einmal den goldenen Herbst ein Stück verlängern. Wie schon vor einem Jahr trafen wir uns auf einen Burger im Kölner Rockpit und ich wollte gleich mal wissen, was die Herren das ganze Jahr so getrieben haben.
So what have you done in between? So a year have passed.
Well, this is Mick here. We were supposed to have carried on promoting our 2020 DVD, the Up Close DVD, but obviously the pandemic hit, which changed everything for everybody. So we were thinking of maybe releasing an album late in 2020. So we'd started writing a few tunes, and then like most of the things, we didn't know what the future would hold. So we spent a bit of time reintroducing ourselves to our families and our pets and just taking a bit of time off. But whilst we were doing that, we were still kind of had a little eye on writing an album. So it wasn't as mad as what it would normally be, but we just kept on doing a few bits and pieces. So I guess for me, and you probably find this from all of us, you know, we spend so much time traveling. And me for one, you know, I've been with my wife for over, well, nearly 40 years. And this year is the longest I've ever spent together. So it was kind of nice reconnecting.
Separated.
Yeah, she now realizes what I'm like, so I sleep in the shed now. Yeah, so that's basically, yeah, just reconnecting with friends, neighbors, and the family, you know, so that's what I did.
Hi, this is Peter. Pretty much the same as Mick said, I think you're going to get this across the board with us. Stopping is always an odd thing to do when you've been going all the time. No matter what you're doing in life, if you're working all the time and you're living a certain life, then everything stopped like it has for everybody. It stopped completely for us. I know some people were working through the pandemic. Some people got busier during the pandemic, you know, especially Amazon. They got a lot busier if you're an Amazon driver all the time. But for anybody in this industry, it was a complete, utter stop, which means nothing was going on. So there's nothing you could do apart from sit down, stop, and like Mick says, spend time with the family because we're all together, you know, sit around the table at night, have dinner, play board games. The first part was great fun. I didn't like it as it went on for me. I found it very hard, very hard. I've said this many times, you know, for people that have been going through the lockdown and some people feel bad about not doing, oh, I'm going to learn a new language or I'm going to you know, make a Taj Mahal out of matchsticks, like I said, or write a book or whatever. I think if you got through the lockdown, you did well. To that point, when it got, for me, mentally tough, I'm going to say it did, mentally tough for me was towards the end. And I think it was the fact that Mick was kind of leading the charge, because I think Stefan said, right, we're going to do an album. So Mick started the ball rolling, and he'd be phoning me up, and I didn't feel like playing at all, really. I didn't want to do anything, but it kind of got me out of it, especially when Pete broke his arm and I had to play a bit of guitar. And doing that helped. I've had to dust the old guitar off, the old electric guitar I've not played for 30 years, plug it into my son's amplifier because I didn't have one. Mine was very old. He had a really nice new little amp. And that started to open the door for me to sort of start again. So it's been an interesting year. I've had great times, but I've had the other end of the stick as well, where you think, when is this ever going to end? You know, I'm sick of seeing these four walls, you know. Not sick of seeing the four walls, but the repetitive not knowing of what's going to happen. But it's better now. It's better now. So it's been good and it's been bad. But for all those people, don't feel bad about not learning a new language or whatever. You know, you got through it, we're here, everybody's safe, or hope everybody's safe. And now we can look forward to appreciating the freedom again. So what it gives us is the fact that whatever we've missed about the joys of being at home is great, that's what you've experienced, but all the things we've missed about being busy and moaning about being busy, oh, I've got to go here, I've got to go there, now we can really appreciate that.
Enjoy.
It'll taste all the sweeter, as it will, I'm sure, for everybody.
Also enjoying some more interviews today.
Of course, yeah. of course. And I'll put you on to Pete now, and he can... Yeah.
Pete, what happened to your arm?
I had a great time in lockdown, unlike everybody else. I really enjoyed most of it until I broke my arm. For me, it was the whole lockdown thing was... I had a lot of time to do things I wanted to do, and I did quite a bit of writing, quite a bit of other things, quite a bit of thinking. I also discovered online streaming gigging, which I really enjoyed, and I'm still doing that, so that was a big bonus for me. And then everything was going well. I stopped drinking, which was another really good thing. And then I went in February, I fell down and broke my arm, which wasn't so good. And then I've had a pretty rough time since then. It was quite a nasty break.
I think you can, sir.
But apart from that, and I enjoyed working on the album, and I think with Mick's guidance and production skills, we've put a great album together, and I'm really proud of it, and pleased to be out the other side of hopefully of the lockdown thing, but hopefully we can start to put everything else back together again now, proper shows and proper, you know, proper gigs. We've been doing some baby gigs the last couple of weeks, which have been interesting, restricted numbers. So it's nice to see life starting to come out of it, you know, blossom again. It's just impossible to know how far I can get before something stops us again. But we'll see. Think positive. One step in front, you know, one step at a time.
Yeah. Your arm is okay again? Can you play guitar?
Yeah, I can play guitar. It's not 100% movement-wise, but it's getting there. I've got about 75% of movement back, and it's still a bit painful sometimes, but...
What about your other duties with this other band you're in right now?
Yeah, well, that hasn't started yet. I got a phone call about 3 months ago from Smokey's management. I've known the guys in Smokey for years, and did a lot of shows with them when I was with the Sweet, you know, together with the Sweet and Susie Quattro and all the 70s acts. We've worked together quite a lot. I've known them all for maybe 20, 30 years. So Mike Kraft was retiring, and they've asked me to replace him, and I said, we've worked out a way... Because they're not as busy as they used to be, we've worked out a way with the of combining the Diaries of the Frontmen project and Smokey in a way that hopefully won't lead to trouble and clashes in the diary. So I'm looking forward to it. I've learned all the songs, mostly, and I've got a couple of more days rehearsal with them in September, and then possibly some gigs in Norway if they happen. So I shall report back to you. Watch this space.
So now you're back with a new studio album. Enjoy the ride. And when I take a look at the artwork, you come back with a Volkswagen Beetle with three acoustic guitars. I would have assumed you're coming with a Mini Cooper.
No. Which is also German now.
Yes. That's right. That's absolutely right.
Yeah, I think that's only fair because we started
our ride here.
Yeah, and that's where we've spent all our time, really. And that's where we are riding and enjoying our ride.
Let's talk about the content. I remember the last time we were sitting here, it was the release of this live album and live DVD, which also contained 6 original songs of yours, and it was mixed with some old favorites from the bands you were in. And we were talking about, you know, the Eagles, obviously, who were a band which, of course, influenced you also in a way, doing it this interpretation more acoustically. When I listen now to your own songs, I think it's not only the Eagles, it's also some more West Coast sound, put it in a kind of European way. Mm. Can I assume this together?
You can assume it and you would be correct. It's just when you write songs, and especially when you have nothing specific to write for, you just want to write something that you enjoy, you will automatically, whether you play piano or guitar, you will go to the chord progressions and the shapes that you know and love. And if you're steeped in that kind of music, which we kind of are, really, you write music that's pleasant to you. So you will kind of try to not rewrite an Eagles song, but, you know, you put your stuff in one end, and when it comes out the other end, it will come out with those influences on there. So, yeah, you're right to say that it does have those flavours. But also along the way, we have other little areas of the music that we like that have other influences. So as you say, you know, you put the West Coast in one end, but it also has a little bit of Brit pop influence, especially from my side of things, or maybe like the more guitar Beatles kind of thing. And then when it gets through Peter, it has a few more different harmony things and all of that. So when it comes out the other end, it's a frontman song with those flavors.
I think this is Pete here again. Another important point with the writing is we're always in the back of our minds thinking towards a chorus that can work with a 3-part harmony, you know, so because that's our strength. So I think we're always looking, as a writer, well, I certainly do, when I'm writing a song, I'm always thinking about, well, yeah, this would be good. This, I can hear 3 parts on this. It would be really, really strong, you know. So that's always there when you're writing for this project, you know.
So for me, you are the perfect version of the musical troubadours of the 20th century. Yeah, because also when I take a look at the artwork, it really looks like you were walking on the street here in Cologne with your acoustic guitar singing these positive songs. Most of them are has a positive message and are a very lightful songs. Yeah, and for me, it's like the musical troubadours. I would say Traveling Wilburys 2.0.
Yeah.
With a different kind of harmonies.
Well, there's one song on the album called Angels and Demons, which is, I'm sure you've Well, I was down at the beach. I've got a caravan by the beach where I live, and I was down there one day, and I had the initial idea for the song came from me, but I didn't take it any further. And I had this little, like the first section of the song. And it's a song of 3 sections, as you can hear. And when I went to Mick with the idea, Mick took it to the second section, which reminded us both of like an ELO or Jeff Lynne thing. And we sort of laughed and said we should create our own. And because we also have the Roy Orbison connection, where Peter used to play the part of Roy Orbison, and we have done You Got It historically in the set. So we decided we would create our own Travelling Wilburys song, basically. So it was very deliberate to have a Roy Orbison section follow the ELO section. And we played it. We had a listening party in the Kulturfabrik in Krefeld a few nights ago, and with some diehard some of our diehard fans. Yes. And they really reacted very positively to that song. They really got it, you know, straight away.
Sorry, I don't know whether you've got it down there, but the song, even within itself, is almost a little 3-part song, because it has a part for each individual member of the frontmen. So it's a lovely, it's almost like it's the frontmen all in 3 minutes.
What was nice is that, because Pete obviously started, he got the bonds of the idea and obviously set the ship rolling. But when he went to Mick sings something, and I remember them both saying, we've got this song and we've done this bit, and then we wanted is an Orby bit. So I sang something like Orby-esque, and that's it.
Yeah.
which was a very unusual way to write a song, because you are kind of planning it on a template, but it was a natural kind of template. It wasn't forced,
it wasn't,
was it?
It wasn't too contrived. I mean, yes, you could say it's a little bit.
There were definite moments when, as we were putting it together, we would even within each other going, "Are we sure we really want to do this? Can we get away with this?" But when we played the song to various people, our wives and other stuff like that, it's just it works so well. And again, it's just a wonderful showcase for the frontman.
Yeah.
And it works really nice. And if it reminds you of a Wilburys song,
that's great.
That's great.
Fun fact, I've received the album on a digital way just a week ago by your promotion agency, and I had no chance to listen to it on my phone, so I put it in my iTunes library, and for whatever reason, I think it's by letters, Angel and Demons was the first track. So
I see now
I have the promotional copy of your album.
Yeah.
I see, of course, it's a different order. Yeah.
I
listened to it with Angels and Demons as first track.
Okay.
And then I had Enjoy the Ride with the two parts.
Right.
So this was for me my listening experience. But initially, when I heard this track, I was thinking about it, Wilburys.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then was Enjoy the Ride with the introduction, which sounded, of course, like Seven Bridges Road by the Eagles, but which was somehow also kind of inspiration, I think, for you. This vocal harmonies.
Very much with Eagles and CSN in mind. You know, the Crosby, Stills, Nash thing in mind. Very much that.
Yeah.
That was. Again, the three parts write themselves for that song, you know, so it's,
But I hear not only the Eagles entirely, I hear also some kind of Eagles solo work. A song like Sad Songs is for me a typical Don Henley track.
Yeah.
Busted.
Well, basically, it's really funny because that song, out of all of the songs on the album, that's an old tune. It's an old song, it's something I wrote, and I wrote it for a commission. A company asked me, they were doing a project and they wanted a 3-4 time ballad in the style of the Eagles, and this was written in about 2002, I think, something like that, maybe even earlier, might have been before the turn of the century, I can't actually remember.
It's too long ago.
But I wrote it then, and it didn't sound exactly like it does on our record, but the song has existed all this time, and we were talking about doing a Take It to the Limit or 3-4 style Eagles ballad, and I said, well, I've got this old song, you know, I'm maybe and I played it to them, to Mick and Peter, and they said, well, that's great, you know, it sounds like so I kind of dusted off the cobwebs, and then Mick did a great job with the track and
somebody said to me, I think it was one of my old managers said, songs aren't fish, they don't go off, you can keep them, you know, they're not going to go off anywhere, don't panic.
That's the thing, the sort of world that we live in, even with when they come to the people come to the concerts, it's like listening to Radio 2, you know, it's not cutting edge stuff, it's listening to
nothing too scary,
it's like listening to the soundtrack of your life, you know, and if this album contains new songs, but it makes you think immediately of songs from the soundtrack of your life, then we've done a great job, because
without them being plagiarized, without them being stolen.
And of course, when you get to near the end and you have to say, right, well, we have a rock song, we have a country song, we need a 3-4 ballad like that, then there's only one place you can go, you know, and then because we have it, we want to make it like the frontmen, so when we do three-part harmonies of a 3-4 ballad with a piano and a pedal steel, that's it. You can't go anywhere else, and so people are going to compare it with that. But that's a lovely thing, you know.
The crazy thing was also that, of course, when I've got...
Can I just say one more thing? If you can get it to Don Henley, I'll be very grateful.
You can say it to him,
Next time I'm going to meet him, I will let him know. Yeah, that's right. That's right. When I've got the promotional copy of the album and the obvious info sheet, of course, it was not only talking about the 13 tracks which are on the CD, but there's also three bonus tracks which were related to your other bands before. And of course, when I was listening to it, I didn't pay attention which tracks are it. So I listened to the full 16 track version. And of course, Wick Wham Bam was the obvious thing. Of course, I know. But then I was thinking, what are the other two tracks, which were not so familiar? And then I first really discovered the Dean and I, which was a track which actually I've been a 10cc fan between, I would say, this live album and Bloody Tourist, of course, right, okay. And let's say the later part, not right. the easy the
so
first
Dreadlock
part,
Holiday, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, of the, course, ah, Dreadlock Holiday, yeah, that's right.
Before.
But the tracks which were before, I knew only from the live album,
right.
So of course the obvious hits like Rubber Bullets, and yep. Arts for Art's Sake. But yep. I didn't know the Dean and I. So this was a track which was more or less new to me, but you interpreted in a way as it would have been a frontman track.
Yeah. Well, again, we wanted to, you know, although this album, the CD, the digital album, has just the original tracks, we wanted to do something else, obviously, for the vinyl. So those three tracks you're talking about will only be on the vinyl album. So yeah, so we've done another track each of the bands, and so we could choose whichever we want, and it was a good time to choose something a little different. If anybody says to me, "What's your favourite 10cc song?" That's my favourite 10cc song. I kind of, although Graham and Eric wrote the kind of the love songs, they wrote "I'm Not in Love," "Things We Do for Love." Kevin Godley and Lol Cream wrote all the crazy stuff, and some of that there's a lot of genius in there. And it's only about 3 minutes long, so if anybody wants to kind of have a good songwriting lesson, they could listen to the Dean and I. There's so much information, and because of the harmonies, it's almost like a vaudeville song from the 20s and the 30s. You know, like, dun, 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 with all of these cascading up, rumpty tumpty, cascading harmonies. It's just a beautiful piece of production and a beautiful piece of music, and I've always wanted to do it. If I do a solo show in the UK with just an acoustic, I just do an acoustic version of it. But given the opportunity that we were putting it on, I did a little version with the ukulele, and then it gets a little bit bigger and a bit bigger. So it's fun.
It could have been also a Beatles track from the late Beatles period.
When I'm 64, so yeah. So it could have been. So that was actually a little thing that, you know, when, what was the Kinks hit? Sunday Afternoon. They were kind of sort of almost like music hall kind of things, you know.
Dedicated Follower of Fashion, that was
it. Yeah, those kind of things, and Hole in My Shoe and the bands and tracks like that that were all a little bit kind of almost crazy. Not comedy, but that kind of thing. So this was a little tribute that 10cc did 30 years later to that. And then, so we're doing a little tribute 30 years after that or whatever, you know.
I would say 10cc did the original one 10 years after the Beatles.
Oh, was it?
Because it's so old already. Wasn't it from 75, 76?
It was 75, yeah. 75, 76, yeah.
10 years after the Beatles.
Oh, only? Yeah, well, there you go. So, you're more of a musicologist than I am. So, yeah. So, yeah, but it's a fun track, and because we were choosing, we kind of had the opportunity to choose whichever track we wanted to do. So I just said, I'll do that.
So, Peter, which Hollis track did you choose for the vinyl version?
I chose Jennifer Eccles.
Yeah. And the obvious thing is, who has been Jennifer Eccles?
I have no idea. I'm imagining somebody that Graham or Alan knew at that time.
So you never met her?
Not as I know of. Not as I know of, no.
I think it's a great interpretation of the song. I think it's a really nice arrangement.
You've heard it?
Oh, you've heard it, yeah. No, yeah. It's something I did when I was doing... I wanted to do a solo acoustic tour. I wanted to better my guitar playing after hearing Sean Colvin, due to Pete, actually. Pete played with Sean Colvin years ago. And I remember an album called Cover Girl.
That's right.
And the first track was You're Gonna Make Me Lonesome When You're Gone, isn't it? The Bob Dylan thing.
I can't remember which the first track, but I think...
No, it's not the first track. It's the Sting track first.
Yeah.
But the one that blew me away was you. And I heard this guitar playing, and I thought it was two guitars. And I remember driving in the car thinking, shit, that's just her on guitar live. And I thought, I want to do that. I want to be able to do that. So after... this isn't a stupid long story. After about a year of trying to work out how to play this thing, I was driving the family crazy with it. And then I realised that it was with a thumb pick, you know. So I spent, honestly, trying to get it exactly like she would. Because I did the classical thing, but not with the thumb pick and what she was doing. And yeah. So that spun on to wanting me, once I'd done that and driven the family crazy, I then wanted to do other songs like that. So I started to put a little repertoire together, like He Ain't Heavy and a few other ones, that where the guitar was more complex than just strumming. So Jennifer Eccles, I started messing around with that. This is quite a long time ago.
And I came up with this particular version of it, which somebody said to me, actually, so what are you doing that for? Because it's so removed from the original song. Why don't you just put some different lyrics on it and say you've written another song? And there's a point to that. And at some point, I might just do that. Just
you get your copyright
anyway. Yeah, well, get out of copyright so I could, you know, get some more royalties maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Last but not least, Wigwam Bam. Yeah. Which was one of the most cheesiest tracks from the Sweet back in the days, but you did it in a totally new way.
Yeah. I was just messing around. It's in a different tuning. It's a Dadgad. Do you play guitar?
No.
No. Well, it's in a different... Anybody out there who plays the guitar, I took the Dadgad, the tuning is called, because that's the D-A-D-G-A-D tuning. And I was messing around with that and just thought it'd be nice to... We were looking for another Sweet song to do, and I wanted to try and, you know, I came up with the idea for Lovers Like Oxygen years ago when I was still with the Sweet, and Andy Scott thought it was really cool. It was a lovely, nice idea to really turn the song upside down. So I suppose I was looking for a way of doing it again with another song. And, so it's in Dadgad tuning and simple, just a simple accompaniment, really, but it kind of works, sounds cute. It's still a cheesy little song, but it sounds cute and
But it's funny that we both do different, because I used the E major, just an E tune to open E for Jenny Eccles. So I suppose that's one way of making things sound a little bit different.
With a different tune.
So now we know where the tracks, or most of the tracks, were coming from. Some of them were originally already have been there. Some of the tracks were, of course, from the former bands. But the whole album was put together by you, Mick. You produced it.
Fantastic.
Yes, I'm the only one with the patience. Okay. I'm not more clever than anybody else.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, he's.
I've got cheap electricity where I am. So, it kind of... I've always been, as a kid, interested in the technology side of things. And it literally... All joking aside, you have to have a certain brain to persevere with something to... You get into the details of the timing and the tuning and the sounds of things, and I kind of enjoy it. Pete switches off almost immediately. Peter switches off almost immediately. Pete gives it a good go, but then eventually switches off, and then it's just me in the dark with faders and knobs looking at the screen.
Dark fader.
A dark fader. Yes, I am by a dark fader. So and kind of I've always and I think it's just. The first album was kind of almost out of necessity. When we were putting the tracks together, we thought we didn't know with All For One whether people would want new material from the frontman. So the last thing we would want to do is spend €50,000 going into a studio with a great producer and putting it out, and everybody goes, meh, you know. So we did it with programmed instruments and obviously real guitars, real vocals. You know, some of the drums are programmed, some of them are not. So we kind of did it in an efficient way, the first album. And then we realised that people actually did like it. And because of our music isn't necessarily bombastic, it's not, you know, Foo Fighters where it needs to
Phil
be.
Spector.
Phil Spector. Although you can achieve good results inside a computer now. We've realised that actually the music that we produce, it's fairly organic. We're not talking loads of different synthesizers or whatever it is. It's just guitars, pianos, keyboards, bass guitar, drums. We could do it all in the box, you know, and everybody seemed to be happy with the stuff the last time. So we said, let's just do it again. And because of the pandemic, we couldn't be together anyway, you know, so we did it. So I just said I felt like almost, not necessarily in charge, but the curator of all of the stuff. So the guys would send me things, and so it was my job to put them all together and make it sound nice, really. But I did have the final say on a few things.
That's good. And to sum it up, this is what I would say to my listeners. To me, quote me on this, for me, this is the best Eagles-esque album after the long run.
Whoa. Well, thank you very much. Somebody asked me. I have gone a bit funny. Thank you very much. Because that, for me, is a benchmark that I would want things to sound like, you know. And so thank you very much. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'll have a beer after.
And I would like to second that. I'd second that because I've been saying to anybody that will listen, I've told them what a fantastic... Mm-hmm. If anybody out there is looking to do an album, they could do a lot worse than have Mick produce it. You know, he's very good. And one of the... I don't know if we talked about this because the coffee's kicked in and I'm not sure who I am anymore, but... VST Connect is a software from Steinberg, who make Cubase, the German mm-hmm. company, and it's a new level of interactional studio software. So I can be in my studio, 300 miles away from Mick's place. I can see him, like a FaceTime call. We can talk in real time. I have a little interface that belongs in the software, which has the track, it has reverb, it has blah blah blah. My interface. He can see my studio interface on his system, so I can play electric guitar or come on mic up an acoustic guitar or sing a vocal, and it goes a low res audio file, you understand what I'm talking about, like an MP3 level of audio file, goes into place on his machine while we record in real time, and when the session's finished, Mick can press a button, and all the low res files are replaced with the high res files which have been stored on the cloud. Yeah. And that, to me,
it sounds like terrific.
Witchcraft, it's complete voodoo. Yeah. So I just wanted to tell you that that's how we did some of the recordings. So it was interactive, but it was interactive from a distance.
Yeah. It's almost like we spend time in studios where you have a control room, and then the live room is kind of round the corner or something. So sometimes you have
a monitor,
you know, CCTV. So it's just like that. And the only difference is that from my end, when I press play, it's about half a second or 1 second before everything starts. And what's happening in that half a second is I press play, it's going to him and then coming back to me. So everybody's in sync.
Sounds really magical.
Yes. So I'd like to say to the good people of Steinberg Technologies, Charlie Steinberg, thank you very much, and we'll accept all endorsements. And happy to say that we record exclusively with Cubase.
So when will you go back on the road? Of course, you have some shows scheduled for the autumn, and you will be in Germany almost through the first half for the next year or so with some more shows. So next time we can do the interview already in German, as we could have done today anyway, but I didn't want to stress you. But I assume the next time we're going to meet us live, you integrate more some of your own material, even more than it was being before, or?
That's happening now, isn't it? Yeah, we've already put a couple of tunes, which is Walking Down That Line, which people have already heard. Sentimental Fool, which we featured on the Up Close DVD, which was written before the album officially started. So there's those two. Gradually we will start to introduce those kind of material. But as we've said before to other people, our problem with the frontmen is what not to play, because we will always upset somebody by not playing one of the hits. So maybe we might end up like Bruce Springsteen and do 3 hours. I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, if we take the Dean and I, or Jennifer Eccles, or Wigwam Bam, and put one of those in, then we have to leave correspondingly. If the show is going to be the same kind of length, we have to leave out a 10cc or a Hollies or a Sweet Tune to make room for
I think eventually what will happen is that there's certain songs that there's Air That I Breathe, maybe He Ain't Heavy, Fox on the Run, I'm Not in Love. They're really say two or songs from the big bands, and hopefully the rest will be stuff that people want to hear, because hopefully there'll be a big hit on the radio with one of the frontman songs, and then you can put that as a main anchor and then put some of the more, or people listen to the album. What's happening now is that people from the All For One album are getting to know Open Up and Fall For You, you know, because we play those live, and they've become a kind of, we don't want to take those out of the set because they sound nice, you know. They sound as comfortable, if not more so, than the stuff that we've done versions of, you know. Yeah. So I think there's been, again, it's a natural progression, like this album is a natural progression to go this way. Who knows what the next natural progression will be? We might focus on a sound that we might... I think for me, just talking off the top of my head, what would be lovely, I don't know the logistics of this, but if you had the finance to be able to spend time, because we've all talked about this, about music losing its mojo, in the sense that you have three people on stage or you have four people in a band and you rehearse a song and you play together and you get something. It's like the old bands like the Hollies used to do. You rehearse something, you rehearse the song, you go in and you capture something. And then you can go and put little bits on top. But you want to, for me, that'd be a fun. But that's one avenue you could go down. Or we could concentrate on one particular style, either rock style or like the CSN style. I like that idea, the enjoy the ride thing. As I said, I'd love to do an album of that. Or you go the whole rock thing or full pop thing. You know, who knows? I think it has to be whatever feels right at that time. You can't really step. We wouldn't have known.
I think because we are in the entertainment business, although we like to be creative, you have to, when you go out on the stage, you have to play songs that the audience will like.
Yeah.
And so if we are told by them that actually we don't really like the frontman songs, we want you to do that, then we have to do that.
Yeah.
If, like, which is, we are very lucky, touch wood, that's happened in the past, people accept our own songs as part of the frontman thing, you know. So hopefully if we introduce these songs, you know, we're not going to sort of, you sit down and you listen to 2 hours of frontmen, you know. That's it. We know why we're there. We know people come to see us because of the bands and our history. So if we can kind of just introduce one or two songs, and as you so, you know, wonderfully said, that if those songs remind you of a Wilbury song or of an Eagles song, then it's not too far away from what we're already doing. It's just a new song. It's not punk or it's not ska or anything. It's more of the same, but it's from our hearts, you know. So if people can accept that, then hopefully as the years go on, we are onto a winner. And people, we do 10cc, we do frontmen, we do Hollies, we do that, and it's all in the same mix, you know.
Smoky, of course.
It's smoky now.
Yes, that's right.
But not Alice.
Well, I did sing Alice a couple of times on this little tour. I used Alice when we, because, you know, in the middle of the show, we sometimes put a little solo spot each, where we each do a solo song.
And the German audience already responded in the correct way?
In the normal time-honoured fashion, yeah. Alice? Yeah. So, yeah, they did, yeah. But there are some nice songs there that, you know, I mean, we could easily take a smoky song and perform it with the frontmen if we wanted to.
And I'm sure
so,
we will do.
Yeah, you know, we might well
we will do
that. Well, you know, we could do. And yeah, but it's exciting. I think there are some songs, like, as Angels and Demons was mentioned before, that will definitely go in. I'm sticking my neck out here and say that will definitely go into the show, because to strip it back and just play it like you got it with acoustic guitars, piece of cake.
I will take this for granted.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. So, yeah.
Well, we've actually got to rehearse that, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've got to rehearse that. Right now, we've got to rehearse that.
We're playing that this afternoon on the radio, so we need to learn it.
Good. Guys, thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Oh, always a pleasure to see you.
Yeah. Pleasure meeting you again, and all the best to you.
Thank you.
You too.
Soweit zum neuen Album Enjoy the Ride. Die Jungs sind ab sofort auf Tour auch in eurer Ecke. Den Rock'n'Roll-Geschichtsunterricht mit viel Humor kann ich euch wärmstens ans Herz legen. Alle Infos zur Platte und die Daten findet ihr in den Shownotes. Wenn dir diese Episode gefallen hat, folge mir doch gerne beim Podcast-Dealer deines Vertrauens, damit du auch die nächste Folge nicht verpasst. Du bekommst die ganze Staffel als kostenloses Abo unter anderem bei Spotify, Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, Deezer, Soundcloud, YouTube, dem Podcast-Portal von Google oder natürlich über meine Homepage theblogofrock.com. Höre dir dort auch die bereits veröffentlichten Stories an, denn jede Woche gibt es hier neues Futter. Und vor allem, erzähle es deinen Freunden und teile die frohe Kunde auf Social Media. Alles klar? Dann hören wir uns ja wieder beim nächsten Mal. Bis dahin, keep on rocking!